Go back to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 again. I'm just going to begin reading in verse 5. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I'm going to stop right there. A little review from last week. These are the last words of Christ on this earth to his disciples. And therefore, I think they're important. I know they're important to me. I think they're important, should be, to all of his people. The first thing he told them was they were going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Not baptized by the Holy Ghost. They were going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Because he was going to indwell in them. He had promised this before in the book of John. Right before he left, he promised it again. Then they asked him, will you restore the kingdom? He spent 40 days with them, and he said, told them things about the kingdom. He said, are you going to restore it now? And he says, none of your business. When I do it. When is none of your business. What, you'll find out some later. What, some of it he already told them. And it might just come to their remembrance later. Like the fact that he was going to raise from the dead after 3 days. They forgot that. Because we do forget stuff. But it's not for you to know when. It's not for anyone to know when Christ will come. But we do know he is coming.
Amen.
And we are to look for his coming. Because he is coming. But after he told them that, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. He says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Christ promised his disciples power. Now to some people, they might get excited about that for the wrong reasons. But notice the way Christ put this. This is only after the Holy Ghost is come upon them.
Amen.
Now, do you know why Jesus Christ promised them power? It's because we need power.
Yeah.
Up until this time, up until the time of the Holy Ghost, there is no power.
Yeah.
in us.
Up until this time, we have no strength. We are without strength. It doesn't say that we're weak, even though we are. The statement is that we have no strength. We were without strength up until this point when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then you'll have power. But it ain't your power. The Holy Spirit gives the believer power. Because the Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. We were without strength, and now we are with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside every regenerated child of God. And He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you and teach you the things of Christ. He doesn't promise you to teach you the secrets of success in this world. He doesn't promise to make everything wonderful in your life and you'll live up on the mountaintop. And if you're full of faith, you'll never have any problems. That's a lie.
Yeah. Amen.
That's a lie. Anybody thinks or anybody says that you're not going to have any problems in this world, they don't know anything about this world. And that could be because they're dumb or they're rich. Or they're lying, which is more likely the case. This power is the power to know God.
Yeah.
And that takes the power of God. And that's something the world doesn't know anything about. They asked Jesus Christ, I believe it was in John chapter 5, he said, what must we do to work the works of God? And he told them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom the Father has sent.
Amen. That's right.
That's doing the work of God, and that is the work of God. It takes the work of God to believe on him whom the Father has sent.
Yeah.
It takes the power of God, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, to believe the Son who was sent by the Father. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, I believe he said, this is eternal life. That they know God. And Jesus Christ whom he sent. Believers have power, but it's not of themselves. The power comes from without to be within you. When the Spirit gives life and dwells within every single chosen, regenerated child of God, believers are now the sons and daughters of God. We know him. The world doesn't. As a matter of fact, the world's as dead as we used to be because they don't even know that they don't know him. They might think they know him. Because not only, I was an unbeliever once. Not only are unbelievers dead, they're delusional.
Yeah.
You know? You don't always have to be sent a strong delusion to believe a lie, but sometimes you are. And even if you're not, you still got delusions anyway. But now, after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, we know him. We love him. Because we are in him.
Yeah.
because of this power, the power of God in Christ Jesus, baptizing his people with the Holy Ghost. It comes from him. Now, the other thing is, this ain't power like the world thinks it. It's not power as the world wants power. Because he says it here. This is the power to be witnesses of him. Believers are not superheroes. Believers are not charmed. We are not beyond injury, illness, despair, depression, or anything else. Believers do have power, and they shall be witnesses of Christ. Anytime you want to come to church and wrestle with a snake, you just feel free, but keep it away from me. I'm reminded quite, you know, I mean, because, you know, this is West Virginia, okay? I mean, it's West Virginia. And that place in Jolo has been on more national TV programs than you can shake a stick at. Now, I am reminded of the, I think it's in the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul. Got bit by a snake, and they thought he was a goner. And he lived and didn't have no problems. But what did he do with the snake? He didn't roll it up and put it in a box and save it for next week. He shook it off in the fire.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't bite nobody else. And he did take no harm. And God can keep us from harm. And God can teach you a lesson through harm. If I believe what you believe, I wouldn't worry about anything I do. Yeah. Go right ahead. It doesn't matter if it's a witness to one or a witness to many. It still takes the power of God to be a true witness of Jesus Christ. This is the power to be a witness of Jesus Christ. The God that I know, I didn't know before. And as I stand here, I want to tell you something about him. Whether you knew it before or not, it doesn't matter, you know. Because we need repetition, because we will forget. These disciples shall be witnesses unto me. They and all believers are witnesses unto Christ. Where? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. And then in Samaria. Isn't that one of them places you weren't supposed to go if you were Jewish? And under Crow, West Virginia.
Sure.
We qualify in that part under the uttermost part of the earth. That's where we qualify.
That's what we are.
Right here, right now. These men are witnesses unto us of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
From 2,000 years ago, the truth of Christ has not changed. From the beginning of the Bible, the truth of Christ hasn't changed. It's still the same. These disciples were and are witnesses unto us right here because of the power given to them by Jesus Christ through the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Their witness has gone throughout the uttermost part of the earth because right here it is in my hand. This is part of their witness. And others. The Bible shows the power given to these disciples and every other disciple Christ has. Because Jesus Christ is an equal opportunity Lord. What he's done for one child, he does for every child. What it took to save one child, it takes to save every child of God.
Amen.
His blood.
Yeah.
Our Lord's Prayer, which is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. I feel like we're old saying that. Ain't the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven"? Lord's Prayer is right here. Begin just for the sake of time in verse 14 of John chapter 17. "I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them." Doesn't that sound familiar? "Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And while he was here, they tried to kill him." And there's some people that would like to kill you if you're a witness for him.
Amen.
It's the truth. "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." The power to be witnesses. It takes the power of God. And he's promised it to his people. He's promised it to us. Our Lord's Prayer in John 17 was for us. Right here in the uttermost part of the earth. His prayer that we would be, that you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, was for us. His promise was for us also. I'm not saying we're apostles or anything like that. But what he's done to save his people, he did for each and every single person. There is no difference. "The prayer was for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And they have, and they will, until he comes again." That's because of these spoken here, those who would believe Christ through the words of the apostles, that's us. Among others, beforehand. But it's us. And all of this is because of Christ giving the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
These disciples were his witnesses. He didn't ask them to be either, if you notice that. "But after ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." You can't help it some days. You can't stop it other days, even though sometimes you wish you could. There are times to be silent, and there are times to speak. And boy, there's a whole lot of learning going into those two little things right there. Walter found out sometimes he might have to be silent on a golf course. Told that story. About the only thing I can't be silent about anymore is when somebody tells me they're living it. Because I can't stand that. But that's me. And I have a standard answer for that. There's only one person who lived it. And he died upon a tree. they killed him for it. Anyway, we believers today are his witnesses. We have been given the power and shall be witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. After he said this, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, just in case you weren't sure that this happened later, when he had just spoken, while they were still looking at him, he was taken up. And a cloud received them out of their sight, out of their sight. You know what happened then? Because Jesus Christ was finished saying what he had to say. He had said what he had wanted to say. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. It's none of your business. When I will restore the kingdom to Israel, and you shall receive power after being baptized with the Holy Ghost. After that, he was taken up. And I'm reminded here of what happened after he rose from the dead. The last thing he says to his disciples when he's on his way up, when he's leaving, when he's just getting ready to ascend, is to comfort his brethren. He stopped and he talked to Mary Magdalene. And he said, "Don't touch me, but I'm here. I'm alive. And I'm going to the Father, and I'll be back in just a minute." And before he leaves, he gives promises to his brethren, his disciples that were staying on this earth. We are in the world. And the last thing he said was, "I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to have power, and you shall be witnesses of me." He comforted them, and he gave them a job to do. He'd spoken to them for 40 days and spoken to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But here at the time of his ascension, Christ has his brethren gathered with him, and he speaks to them of what he's going to do for them. He comforts them with his last words to them while he was here on the earth. The love of Christ for his brethren is unmatched by anything we have, except the love of Christ, which is shed abroad in our hearts. He is our shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. He cares for his sheep. He sees that they're fed. He sees that they're watered. He sees that we are safe. And the last thing the good shepherd did before he went up was to comfort his people and told them, basically, "Occupy till I come. You shall be witnesses." He didn't tell us we had to build a big glass cathedral in California. He didn't tell us we had to build the Vatican and make Michelangelo paint pictures up on the ceiling upside down. He said, "Witnesses of me." That's our job. To each other and to others or anyone who's interested. And that's the words he left us with. They beheld Christ being taken up. Walter, I got to think about this. This wasn't hidden. This was not hidden. This was not a secret. Even if it wasn't exactly public, it's not secret. They were gathered together somewhere. The ascension of Jesus Christ was a family event.
Yeah. Amen.
The family of God was there to see it. But what I mean by it not being a secret, I mean, had anyone else been there, they would have seen this because this literally happened. So you get this idea from the way people talk and the way religions are made that this was, you know, a beautiful thing and too spiritual for words, Walter. This was a literal event. A man just ascended up. He was standing right in front of them. He was real. They saw him. If you'd have been there, you'd have saw him, because it's not the fact that, well, only the eyes of believers can behold Christ. No, he was right there. It's not a ghost story. It's not a spiritual thing, even though there were spiritual aspects of it. This happened in reality.
Amen.
While they beheld him, he was taken up. And what happened was, while they were looking at him, he was taken up. I'd be willing to bet there's a Mystery of the Bible program about this. I've never seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me. But this was the literal, physical ascension of Jesus Christ from the earth. And these men and women who were here physically and physically witnessed his literally being taken up out of their sight. It says a cloud received him. And the strange thing about this, Walter, is I wondered, it doesn't say anything about, oh, the heavens opened up and the glories. No, he rose up and the clouds receded. Because, I don't know about you guys, but I can't see through clouds. And neither could the disciples. This was a physical thing. This really happened. And if you go up into the clouds, they're not going to see you anymore. And they saw him until the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were still looking, two men stood by in white apparel. Two men stood by the disciples after the exodus, the exit, the outgoing of Jesus Christ. And here's the end of what we were talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. When Moses and Elijah, who both had different outgoings of their own, spoke there to Christ of his decease, his exodus, his outgoing. This was the end of the exit of Jesus Christ. He was taken out of their sight. Two men show up in white apparel and spoke to the disciples, and they said, "What are you looking at? Why stand ye gazing up there?" He's not there. He's out of your sight right now. But he told you to do something. So why are you standing up there looking? Christ left to go, and he went. And right now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Right now, there is an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
For his people. For his brethren, the people of God. He was received out of their sight. And I said it last week, I'll say it this week. Jesus Christ is not in a manger anymore. Jesus Christ is not on a cross anymore. And Jesus Christ is not in a tomb anymore. And he'll never be in those places again. So you can keep your manger scene. You can keep your statue. You can keep your little crucifix around your neck or at the back of the church. Because our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And that's where he's at right now. And that's what he's doing right now. Whatsoever he hath pleased. But Jesus Christ gave him a command before he left. He said, go to Jerusalem and stay there. And you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And guess what? Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So that's where they were. A mount called Olivet. What did they do after this happened? They went back to Jerusalem just like he told them to. When is he coming back? It's none of our business. He's coming back when you think not. What's going to happen when he comes back? Or before he comes back? Walter, there might be a sermon there too. But Jesus Christ is coming back.
Yeah.
That's the other thing these two witnesses told him. This same Jesus that you've seen go is coming again in like manner, like you saw him go. And though I like that, this same Jesus, it's not going to be another. I don't know what's wrong with the world. Well, okay, never mind. I do know what's wrong with the world, okay? But see, the whole part is, the funny thing about this is, the world is looking for another Jesus Christ. To be born of a virgin, to come back again to do something more. That's what the world's looking for if you watch television or movies. And that's what a lot of people got in their heads who don't go to church, but they are sort of religious. They get most of their religion from movies and TV. That's where it comes. Trust me. I've talked to them. They are looking for another Jesus. They're looking wrong. Because this same Jesus is coming again. This same Jesus. And I was looking at the Greek just to see what that word was. And actually, it's kind of implied in the other word. If you want a literal translation, this Jesus. There is no other Jesus. There is no other Jesus Christ. There is no other Christ Jesus. There will never be another Christ Jesus, just like there is no other gospel, Mason. They might preach another, but it's not another. They might say there's another Jesus, but there's not another Jesus. This Jesus is coming back. And I'm going to tell you something. They didn't like him when he was here before, and they're not going to like him when he comes back. But this time, he'll be coming back with power, and they're going to do what he wants anyway. And it still won't do him a bit of good. But he's coming back. When, I don't know. But he's coming back just like you saw him go. These disciples had something to do. He'd given them a command. They should not depart from Jerusalem. They should wait. So they waited. And they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where they abode with Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon, Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Christ told them to wait. They went back to wait. And they waited till Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, when it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And there come the Holy Ghost. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, sounds familiar too. Can't tell whether it comes from or where it goes. And it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if the Spirit's not giving you utterance, I don't want to hear any German. Jesus Christ has promised the baptism with the Holy Ghost to every one of his children. That means they're going to have it. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to pray it in. You don't have to lay it on. You can't tell whether it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Amen.
And you shall be witnesses of me, of Christ, of your God, your Lord. This is his command. The other command is it? Love one another. Some people act like they want something hard to do. Well, it's hard enough.
That's hard.
This took the power of God.
Right.
And trust me, being a good witness ain't easy. Want to tell the truth of God and lie not. And that's harder than it sounds. And you know it is if you tried it. I'm not even talking about standing up here. I'm talking about out in the world. Because they won't have it.
Yeah.
They won't have it. Yeah. And once you find out they won't have it, don't give it to them. If they ask for it, fine. Be witnesses. You shall be. Because I have faith in him. That his word will prosper whereunto he put it. And where it doesn't prosper, it wasn't meant to. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this day and this time. And for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us life, given us light, given us hope, and spoke to us of his word and his will. And included us, unrighteous, undeserving sinners, in his family. Thank you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.